Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw. This is the best of the best series where we discuss the best, most iconic, greatest wrestling matches of all time. And this week we have what a lot of people call the greatest of all time. That is Ricky Steamboat, Randy Savage, WrestleMania 3. Are you ready, Mr. Briscoe?
Hey, John, I've been ready for WrestleMania 3 rematch here for so long. You know, this is considered one of the greatest. You know, we always say they're all the greatest, but to us, when we're watching them, man, we're into them, and they are the greatest. So sit back and enjoy John and I's opinions on there. They're not all right, but they're not all wrong either. So, enjoy yourself, and let's get rolling with one of the greatest of all time, Ricky Steamboat and Randy Macho Man Savage. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Josh, roll the tape, please. The Macho Man. Yeah, and this is the build-up, Mr. Briscoe, to the lead-up to WrestleMania 3, where Savage comes off the top rope and hits the neck of Ricky Steamboat on that rail.
What? He's got the bell.
Then brings the bell into the ring. Drops the bell on the foot again, and this is what led to Savage Steamboat being out leading up to WrestleMania 3.
The man's recuperative abilities, he's had an amazing recovery at this point.
That doctor has a striking resemblance.
I think a lot of that is due to the tremendous heart.
That's the worst looking doctor I've ever seen.
Phenomenal
physical condition. Tell me that guy didn't get stripped on the side.
From Hawaii, weighing 237 pounds.
This is horrible, McMahon. This is kidnapping.
There she's the body, Mr. Gov, the governor.
Kidnapping. He's in the arms of someone who cares.
This was a great program with George the Animal Seal. John, you weren't around at this time, were you?
No, I wasn't around when George was wrestling. I was around when George was an agent.
This was a great program with George. It fit in so well, you know, because Randy's protecting Miss Elizabeth and everything, and this George the Animal still kept getting a crush on Liz and trying to put him up and all that stuff.
Ooh, yeah. Macho Man Randy Savage, Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, was in a state of shock when Ricky the Dragon Steamboat came back. Yeah, but this time, in front of the largest audience in the world, I will not only embarrass you, not only pin you with the 1-2-3 count, but I'm going to put you out of wrestling for good. Oh, yeah, Dragon, I am the Lord and Master of the Ring, and you're going to find that out, one athlete to another, right now. You can't be with me, no. History beckons the Macho Man, yeah.
There's a short roll call when it comes to great promo guys, and he's one of them.
Yeah, he is one of them. A guy who can rant and make sense. Were you at WrestleMania 3?
No, I was doing closed circuit. I was selling it down there.
You were selling the closed circuit?
Closed circuit.
Were they sold out?
Yeah, we had like 23 different venues, and most of them sold out, and a lot of them didn't, you know.
How many people were in the venue?
Well, we had Miami. We had 13,000, 14,000. We're close to selling out Miami. Tampa was probably about 14,000 seat arena, probably about 6,000-7,000 people. Orlando was real strong. Jacksonville, surprisingly, was huge for us. And some of the smaller towns like Savannah and places like that did very, very well.
So you put 15,000 people in an arena in Tampa just to watch a video stream.
Miami, Florida, yeah.
Unbelievable. That had to be an auditing nightmare.
Yeah, well, it had to be. But, man, it was a nightmare running the show because sometimes the feeds would, I mean, these weren't really technology great things at that time. You know, you had your difficulties. Kissimmee, Florida, I remember losing the feed totally in Kissimmee. You know, we had 2,500 people there. That big crowd for was one of these little towns. And the building manager called me and he said, we lost the feed. All right, and so I'm calling the control center that they had a special number to call. Oh, hey, we lost the feed there. Okay, well, give us a location. Boom, boom. 30 seconds later, feed back on.
Randy says the day has finally come. The minutes, the seconds, we have reached our moment. As you and I climb into the ring, we clash like two titans. But there will only be one winner. One winner, Savage. This dragon will be in fire. This dragon will scorch your back.
I will come away with the championship belt and see new horizons.
You know, we have Ricky telling a lot of this story on Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw on our other podcast, John, and he really gets in depth in this match. We spend a lot of time on it. Ricky's take on it is firsthand and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and it kind of goes to show you that putting a great match there's not one way to do it. You know, if you had told Eddie Guerrero, here's the 10 things I want you to do in a match, he wouldn't get one of them right. And it's not because he's a dumb guy. He did everything by feel. He couldn't put a match together in the back. You get him out there in front of the crowd, he was electric. You know, but he had great matches. These guys put everything together over the course of weeks before and had one of the greatest of all time. So there's not necessarily one way that to do it.
That makes greatness. You know, and to me, the strange thing about it, I've been in, I've shared a ring many, many times with Ricky Steamboat. At probably 99% of those times, we go out there and we just went by feel, by motion and feel. And I think that's what made Ricky great. And I think that's really what made Randy great, because Randy knew what he was going to do, so he could position his body ahead of time and have those, you know, those instant moments.
Yeah, and Ricky, when he's on the podcast with us, Stories of Briscoe and Bradshaw, told the story very detailed. As you said, this was all Randy. Randy's the one that wanted to put this 101 through 157 together and put the entire thing, including the lockup, written down before the match.
I love the story about when they'd see each other. Ricky would go, hey, Randy, I'm on item 56. What's 57, 58? And Randy, boom, 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 all the way to the finish of the match. They even had Hebner doing it. And Hebner can't count to three without missing the number.
And it was Ricky, I think, he and Savage both apparently got lost one time each during the match. And the other guy told them where they were.
And that's the importance of a referee out there, isn't it, John? You know, you're relying on that referee where you're at.
I was taking a German suplex from Chris Benoit one time off the top rope in a cage match, and I thought it might knock me dingy, and it did. And when it did, Nick Patrick asked me, he goes, do you know where you are, kid? And I said, no, sir. And he goes, do you know the finish? And I said, no. He goes, I'll walk you through it. And Nick, you know, slowly called the entire finish for me. And then all of a sudden, you had it worked. You know, it all came back to me, and everything was fine. But Nick knew enough to ask me, do you know the finish? I said, nope.
This match is so important, John, because it really puts emphasis on a belt, on a title. It really makes it's kind of set the tone for future generations with the Intercontinental title matches. If you were the Intercontinental Champion, you were looked at as what? One hell of a performer.
That's right.
You were carrying the time load, basically, what you were doing for the rest of the team.
Look at Davey and Brett SummerSlam 1993 in Wembley, one of the greatest of all time also. That was for the Intercontinental Championship.
Now, bear in mind, this is the biggest crowd in the history up to this moment. It said 93,000 people. You know, if it's not, it's close to it. You know, and this wasn't the main event, but this was one of the matches. What a card that was. This is one of the matches that stands out in the history of WrestleMania, and it wasn't even the main event. And drops off the apron with it. A man
method to his madness indeed, Jess.
Well, I'll tell you, I've never seen the dragon this aggressive.
But it gives an opportunity. It opens some eyeballs that, hey, you don't have to be 7 foot tall and weigh 450 pounds to put on a good match to help draw a crowd.
That's right.
This match opened the door to that. Like I said, that IC title meaning something, and guys, Ricky and Randy's size of getting a championship and making them mean something.
And this match really changed the business. And before this, you didn't have a ton of false finishes. You didn't have two guys going out there stealing the show like this. And after this, now all of a sudden you realize, you're right, it opened up a lot of people's eyes. It also changed how matches were done that meant something just because it was over titles. George was a former, or still was a high school football coach, right?
High school football coach and high school wrestling coach. He wrestled. He was heavyweight for Michigan State University. He was one of the early guys that come from the amateur ranks out to professional wrestling.
That's disgusting. I prefer not to look at it.
Handful of hair, and the dragon is back up. He coached several state championship teams in the state of Michigan, which is phenomenal because that's a football heavy school, you know.
Yeah, I remember when I came in, I always loved to talk football with George. He was a pleasant guy.
Yeah, he was. And a bright guy, too. Very intelligent. George, school teacher, and he married a school teacher. And, my wife's school teacher. We talked education a lot and how he felt about teaching different parts of history. A very bright man.
George told me a funny story one time. They were working in the old Miami arena. It was in a bad part of town, and his wife was driving in the school.
Oh, yeah. This is true. I was there.
Were you in the car?
Oh, no, I wasn't in the car. But
oh, my goodness.
I pulled in right before George.
So go ahead and tell what happened.
Oh, go ahead. His
wife's driving, and George is laying down asleep, and a guy comes in and wants to grab her purse or grab her car jack or something, reaches across George. George grabs the guy and hits the gas and starts going down the road really fast, and the guy finally gets out of the car and falls down the side of the road. So you can imagine, a guy goes there and he's gonna rob this lady, and all of a sudden George Steele grabs him and kidnaps him.
Yeah, I drug him down the road, man. had that arm bar on him, man, and it hit the gas. It was in one of those old cars, you know, where the seat would go back. So he was laying down in the seat. When the guy reached across, he didn't see George until George snatched him.
Can you imagine? This big, hairy George Steele's got hold of him.
But this match, I mean, they're going back and forth, man. Look at Ricky. I mean, that arm drag is picture perfect. That's the thing about Ricky and Randy. I mean, Ricky always gets praised for, but Randy too, man. Randy's body posture, Randy's movement in the ring, there's no wasted motion there. They're the right in sync with everything.
Yeah, you're right. They're two really good athletes, and they're just very smooth. There's that skin the cat that you're so good at.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get up pretty early in the morning now, smart the macho man.
Have to agree with that.
That's Dave Hebner in the ring, right?
Yeah. Very concerned, obviously. Dave was a little heavier.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, too, she was a perfect foil in this match. You know, she wasn't out there. She wasn't, you know, making a scene of herself all the time. She was just a petite little girl in the corner that you actually felt sorry for at times.
That's right. She was very understated.
You know, all these young ladies that are so awesome today, you know, if they just take a look at way Elizabeth carried herself and conducted herself. I mean, she was the first lady of sports entertainment. I've already counted to 20 as the dragon was literally pushed by the Macho Man over the top barricade right into the ringside area, and there he goes again.
Only it looks
And John, this match isn't allotted a lot of time either. It's basically under a 15-minute match, or, you know, and all the action that they put in about 15 minutes is just...
That's right, yeah.
Hell of a...
Yeah, it's semi-main, and it's only allotted 15 minutes. Why is it that Hebner counting? Yeah, he waits 30 seconds. Well, Jesse had such a great voice, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
He was so quick, such good banter.
Him and Bobby the Brain, man.
Yeah.
That was Randy's favorite move there. Macho setting him up now. Elbow, what a beautiful move that was. Actually met Randy when he was still playing for the Cincinnati Reds down in Fort Myers, Florida. He had an afternoon baseball game. My brother and I went to watch him playing baseball with Angelo Poffo, his dad, and that night he came in and laced up his boots and got in the match and beat Don Serrano in 10, 12 minutes.
Really? So he played that day and he wrestled?
He wrestled that night. Said he made more money wrestling that night than he did playing baseball.
That's like Deion Sanders playing football and baseball on the same day.
Yeah, well, Randy was the first, man. It was just Randy Poffo at the time.
Was he as intense then?
Oh, yeah. He's sitting in that dressing room just talking to me. You know, a baseball fan I am, so I'm trying to get all the baseball I can out of me. You know, he tried to focus on wrestling.
That's right. You have two different agendas. It's the same whenever I run into Wade Boggs. You know, I'm such a fan of Wade, you know, like we all are. And Wade wants to talk wrestling, and I want to talk about his 3,000 hits.
Yeah. Those 3,000 happened right here in the Tropicana Field.
The home run, too, right?
Home run, yeah, home run in hometown.
Well, I realized it was in Tropicana. I knew he hit a home run on his 3,000. What a good guy that Wade Boggs is.
Tremendous guy. I've been to a couple of tarpon tournaments with him. And he puts on a big tarpon tournament down
in
Annabella Island down there. And it's fun. Dragon trying to figure out what's going on, where the Macho Man is. There he's
going right out after him. This could be a big mistake. You know, this had to be unbelievable for those guys. This is the first big stadium. You know, they did the show in Toronto, I think, the year before, 86,000 people. But this was the first really big stadium televised show.
Yeah, and you know, crowds like this, I mean, the build, you know, WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2, where there are three venues, and Vince said, man, I'm going for it. You know? Give me the biggest building.
And you listen to the crowd, they are just into everything these guys are doing. It's been nothing but action. You've seen Savage get nothing but heat on Steamboat. Now Steamboat's making the big comeback. Referee Dave Hebner pushing back the Dragon. Looking for a position, perhaps. Look how different those stairs are.
And John, as we talked a little bit earlier, the false finishes in this match. Before this, there wasn't a real big focus on a lot of these false finishes. I mean, it was just something that came along, and then this match helped enhance it.
You know, what's interesting about that, Jerry, is that these guys really put themselves out on a limb to do this. If this hadn't worked, this would have been terrible.
Yeah.
You think about it. I mean, you don't have many false finishes, and you're doing something completely different than the business. And if it's not working and you've got the whole match – laid out, I mean, these guys would have been stuck out there basically by themselves.
And boy, you talk about silence when you got backstage.
Oh my goodness, I mean, that's a pretty big, it's a pretty big risk they took.
Yeah. And you know, that's a great point. You know, that's what makes things great is when you push that envelope and you do change things. And these
that's
guys
right.
had it in them that they knew that they could succeed doing it.
Yep. Some crazy thing that stuck with me my whole career. I asked Hacksaw when I first saw him in the business. I said, "You were worried about missing your 2x4?" Because he throws it way up in the air. He goes, "Nope, you got to go for it, kid." And for some reason, that always stuck with me. But if you're going to do something, you got to do it. And that's what these guys did. These guys went all in on this match, and it becomes one of the greatest of all time. But they took a big risk in doing so.
And they didn't hide their intentions on how they were building it either. I mean, everybody in the business knew what they were doing. And I wasn't even around. I was just doing promotion down here in the South. But I'd heard, you know, they were doing move by move. And I kind of questioned it myself when I first heard it. You know, it'll never work because we're so much of a field business. And I'd know I'd been in the ring for so long with Ricky, and I knew what kind of performer he was. A greatness comes through no matter what the situation.
Yep, that's right. The ref bump. No referee. Wake him up.
Too late. What would we do without those ref bumps?
And the ref bump, man, if you didn't see Dave Hebner, that when he took the bump, he throws both arms up in the air and he flails before he takes the bump. The ref bumps are always some of the hokiest bumps ever, but I love them because they were hokey.
That bell here, right there, John, I got that bell up in my shed.
That bell?
That bell, that exact bell right there. I got it up in my shed right there.
And this is a playoff, Savage hitting him with the bell earlier, hurting his throat. I think the bell
rammed Savage in the head, Jesse. You know, man. But the champion's still in control. No, small. Look at that. That little small package out of all those spots and all,
that's sudden, all that.
Just a small package. And there it is, folks. I mean, you catch something by surprise. You know, something that you're not supposed to pin somebody with, and listen to the reaction that they get.
That's right. 93,000 people are excited over a small package.
Great Howard Finkel. You know, I didn't know that was Randy Savage's only Intercontinental title run.
Well, I didn't either.
Because he was so known as Intercontinental title champion, I figured he'd been, you know, champion several times, but this was his only championship run.
And Steamboat on the show with us said about how relieved he was when it was finally over, because he had so much pressure on him having to remember that entire match. He told us that he really didn't enjoy the match because there was so much pressure on memorization of trying to
remember it all. It's got to be uncomfortable, as we talked to him about. You know, you got to, it's in your mind, you can't mess up, especially in front of an audience like that. As you notice, they were on a cart going out. You know how that cart got to be, right? Andre was in such bad shape, he couldn't make that entrance walk all the way unassisted. He had to have to stop two or three times. So they come up with a golf cart to transport him back and forth to the room.
And then they had everybody do it so it wouldn't look like it was just Andre.
It wouldn't look different when they did it, yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's what you get when you watch this show, John. You get a little bit of history, man.
You're dang right you do. Maybe even Josh will learn something. I think Josh knows more than we do.
Well, he makes his whole show run, John, so don't get on Josh.
Yes, he does.
But there you have it, folks. Two of the greatest again, man. We always say it, the greatest, but you got to agree with us. I mean, you know, what are you going to put in that place when you call out the greats? Randy a Dragon Steamboat and Randy Macho Man Savage, it don't get much better. You know, it takes a lot, and we're going to find them. If there is better stuff out there, we're going to find them, right, John?
That's right. We're going to find them and we're going to show them to you. But I don't know how you know, it's like when somebody was talking about comparing, say, Michael Jordan and LeBron James, you know, and no matter what you think about them, they're both great. You know, they're both doing incredible things that nobody else has ever done. So when you compare in matches, you compare Steamboat, Savage, and and Taker and HBK, they're both great. And, you know, their levels of greatness, I understand, but it's hard to figure out which one might be better, and that's what people love debating, but they're all great. And when you talk about the greatest, we talk about this match at WrestleMania 3.
That's right, and, you know, it's all debatable on what you think is great, but when we're watching a match that happened 25, 30 years ago, damn it, it's got to be great, or you were not watching it, you know. It's just filed over in the corner there with a lot of my matches.
And what's so cool about it is, like we do on this show, we interviewed so many people that were such huge stars at different eras and different regions. You know, you look at the crowds. The crowds were going banana, as Pat would say. And they go banana now over the guys now. So it's all levels of greatness. You know, it's just different time eras and different time zones.
And it's all about WrestleMania. I mean, you know, you bring your best. And it's over the used cliche, but when the greatest stage of all presents the opportunity to be on it, if you're not ready, you're not going to be welcomed back for, like, Taker 22 or 23, whatever times he came in there. But greatness is it can appear any time in a match. You know, it's just that little sudden spark that kind of sets both guys off, and man, you're in for a run.
And when it does, it's absolutely magical, and that's what we discuss here is best of the best stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw, wherever you get your podcasts, our YouTube channel. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon. We'll be right back.